I do not fear him now, for I suspect that he has known horrors beyond my ken. Now I fear for him.
From the darkest minds in literature come tales of supernatural terror, blasphemous occult rituals, and eldritch horrors beyond imagination. This is the realm of Macabre Fantasy. Johnny D., pomade for the hair, welcomes you to Macabre Fantasy Radio Theater, radio's premier purveyor of chilling and thought-provoking weird stories based on classic and contemporary tales of fiction. But first, a word from our sponsor. Friends, has this ever happened to you?
Hi, Sally. Are you ready for our date?
Don't let a monstrous appearance brought on by wild, unkempt hair impede your success in life. He should have used Johnny D. pomade for the hair to ensure that polished, high-sheen look that works like a charm every time. Let's see if he's learned his lesson.
Hi, Sally. How about that date now?
Oh, Johnny.
Yes, friends, to achieve success in life, be sure to ask your barber or drugstore clerk for Johnny D. pomade. It works like a charm every time. And now, join me in welcoming to our stage the host of our show, an expert in the macabre, the angel of death, Thanatos. Thanatos? You nearly scared me to, well...
Death?
Well, yes.
Not to worry, just a little harmless fun on my part. You've got at least a few years yet before our appointment.
Oh, swell. How about introducing the story you've picked out for us this week, eh?
Very well. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, Macabre Fantasy Radio Theater is proud to present a tale from a bright young star of the weird and a true master of horror. Two men journey into the deadly swamplands of Florida in search of forbidden knowledge buried in ancient forgotten tombs and confront the very edge of sanity in H.P. Lovecraft's The Statement of Randolph Carter.
I should warn you, Bill, the patient is quite a bundle of nerves. It's odd. He has gaps in his memory, which are very selective, yet with no discernible trauma to the brain.
How convenient for him.
Well, I'd say he suffered quite a shock.
I'll bet he has. Not like the one the state's attorney has in store for him.
His well-being is my concern. Best go easy on him.
You just make sure he's fit enough to go to trial, and you leave the law to me, Doc.
Mr. Carter? Mr. Carter, this is Sheriff Maynor. He's got a few questions for you.
Good afternoon, Sheriff.
Afternoon, sir. Now, for the record, your name is Randolph Carter, and we have your residence listed in Boston. Is that correct?
Yes.
Born in 1874 in Arkham, Massachusetts. That'd put you about 50.
51, yes.
Mr. Carter, I'm going to be straight with you. I'm here to find out just what exactly happened to you.
Believe me, I wish I could tell you.
From what we've pieced together from witness reports, you and your companion come down to Collier County just before Christmas to go exploring in the middle of the night?
As you say, sir.
In gator-infested swamps? And then you're the only one that comes out of it the next morning?
Well, yes, but...
Mr. Carter, the sheriff isn't charging you with wrongdoing. He's just trying to ascertain the truth.
Truth? I know the truth. Your patient took the other fella out into the swamp and murdered him. Probably cut him up and fed him to the gators. Simple as that. And the quicker he gets on to fessing to the crime, the quicker the boys up at the pen can get on to electrocuting him.
Sheriff, please. He's obviously under great stress. This man is a war veteran.
I'm sorry, I don't remember.
I don't care if he's a four-star general. He's going to tell me what happened. You're going to fess to that man's murder. There will be justice.
Mr. Carter, please. if you could shed any light at all on what exactly occurred and how you came to be in the state you were when you were found.
I repeat to you, gentlemen, that your inquisition is fruitless. Detain me here forever if you will. Confine me or execute me if you must have a victim to propitiate the illusion you call justice. But I can say no more than I have said already. Everything that I remember, I've told with perfect candor.
See here, Carter, you're lying to me. You're hiding behind the doc's kindness and your supposed delusional state. But I'm telling you that I see right through your game.
Nothing has been distorted or concealed, and if anything remains vague, it's only because of the dark cloud which has come over my mind. That cloud, and the nebulous nature of the horrors which brought it upon me.
Perhaps, gentlemen, we should all just calm down.
All right. Now, this fellow you come down with, who was he?
Warren. His name was Harley Warren, and for 5 years I've been his closest friend and a partial sharer of his terrible researches into the unknown.
And how'd you meet this Warren? What was his research?
I am a writer. I came in contact with Warren through a mutual friend, a Mr. de Marnier. As to our studies, I have no clear memory.
A Yankee writer? And what sort of things do you write?
Fiction, primarily. Stories of, well, dream and of death.
Death?
Mr. Carter is a writer of strange tales. Fiction. I've read his work. It's quite good. Very imaginative.
So who was this Harley Warren? What was this research you mentioned?
Warren was a linguist, lately of South Carolina. As I've said before, the weird studies of Harley Warren were well known to me and to some extent shared by me. Of his vast collection of strange, rare books on forbidden subjects, I have read all that were written in the languages of which I am master. But these are few as compared with those in languages I cannot understand. Most, I believe, are in Arabic. But the fiend-inspired book which brought on the end, the book which he carried in his pocket, out of the world, was written in characters whose like I never saw elsewhere. Warren would never tell me just what was in that book.
Old books? What does that have to do with the two of you marching off in the middle of the night? Did the idea for that come out of one of these here dusty old books?
As to the nature of our studies, must I say again that I no longer retain full comprehension? It seems to me rather merciful that I do not, for they were terrible studies, which I pursued more through reluctant fascination than through actual inclination. Warren always dominated me, and sometimes I feared him. I remember how I shuddered at his facial expression on the night before the awful happening, when he talked so incessantly of his theory.
Shall I tell you, Carter, why certain corpses never decay, but rest firm and fat in their tomb for 1,000 years?
But I do not fear him now, for I suspect that he has known horrors beyond my ken. Now I fear for him.
I've got a witness to put you and this Warren character out on the Gainesville Pike heading towards Big Cypress Swamp at 11:30.
I will not deny, though my memory is uncertain and indistinct.
Says he saw you both carrying lanterns, spades, and a whole mess of tools with you.
Aye, for those things all played a part in the single hideous scene which remains burned into my shaken recollection. But of what followed, and of the reason I was found alone and dazed on the edge of the swamp next morning, I must insist that I know nothing save what I've told you over and over again.
That you found some ancient cemetery in the middle of a swamp?
Correct.
Blast it, Carter. There ain't nothing in those swamps but gators and moonshiners.
I know nothing but beyond what I saw.
And just what did you see, Mr. Carter?
Vision or nightmare? It may have been. Yet it is all that my mind retains of what took place in those shocking hours after we left the sight of men.
All right. You and this Harley Warren went out into Big Cypress Swamp. Just what in blazes were you two going after there so late at night?
Your witness says he saw us at 11:30 on the Gainesville Pike, headed for Big Cypress Swamp. This is probably true, but I have no distinct memory of it. The picture seared into my soul is of one scene only, and the hour must have been long after midnight.
All right then, Yankee Rider, spin me a yarn. Tell me just what do you remember?
The place was an ancient cemetery, so ancient that I trembled at the manifold signs of immemorial years. It was in a deep, damp hollow, overgrown with rank grass, moss, and curious creeping weeds, and filled with a vague stench which my idle fancy associated absurdly with rotting stone. On every hand were the signs of neglect and decrepitude, and I seemed haunted by the notion that Warren and I were the first living creatures to invade a lethal silence of centuries. Over the valley's rim, a wan, waning crescent moon peered through the noisome vapors that seemed to emanate from unheard-of catacombs. And by its feeble, wavering beams, I could distinguish a repellent array of antique slabs, urns, cenotaphs, and mausoleum facades, all crumbling, moss-grown, and moisture-stained, and partly concealed by the gross luxuriance of the unhealthy vegetation. Warren and I then paused before a certain half-obliterated sepulcher and threw down the burdens which we had been carrying. I had with me an electric lantern and two spades, whilst my companion was supplied with a similar lantern and a portable telephone outlet.
Here we are. Help me clear it free. Yes. Yes, very good, Carter. Now then, let me see. Good thing we brought these spades with us, eh?
Here, let me help you.
I've almost got it. Yes, perhaps two is better.
Quite.
Right then, on three. One, two, three! Almost there.
That's it. We're in. Dear Lord, that stench!
God, hand me your lantern.
Together, we approached the foul pit. Our lanterns disclosed the top of a flight of stone steps, dripping with some detestable ichor of the inner earth, and bordered by moist walls encrusted with nitre.
This is it. Carter, we've done it.
I find that I cannot contain my excitement any longer. Oh, what unimaginable discoveries await us below!
I'm sorry to have to ask you to stay on the surface, but it would be a crime to let anyone with your frail nerves go down there. You can't imagine, even from what you've read and what I've told you, the things I shall have to see and do. It's fiendish work, Carter, and I doubt if any man without ironclad sensibilities could ever see it through and come up alive and sane.
Now, see here, Warren.
I don't wish to offend you. And heaven knows I'd be glad enough to have you with me. But the responsibility is, in a certain sense, mine. And I couldn't drag a bundle of nerves like you down to probable death or madness. I tell you, you can't imagine what the thing is really like. But I promise to keep you informed over the telephone of every move. You see, I've enough wire here to reach to the center of the earth and back.
No, Warren, I've come with you this far, have I not? All of our research, all of our investigations have led to this moment. I'll not abandon you now.
Carter, you are a true friend. But what I am about to do, I must do alone.
But I insist.
I will abandon the expedition if you remain insistent. You know that I alone hold the key.
Yes. Very well. Go.
Take the receiver. I'll contact you when I've reached it.
Good luck, old friend. Then he shook my hand, shouldered the coil of wire, and disappeared within that indescribable sestuary. For a moment, I kept sight of the glow of his lantern and heard the rustle of the wire as he laid it down after him. But the glow soon disappeared abruptly, as if a turn in the stone staircase had been encountered, and the sound died away almost as quickly. I was alone, yet bound to the unknown depths by those magic strands whose insulated surface lay green beneath the struggling beams of that waning crescent moon. In the lone silence of that hoary and deserted city of the dead, my mind conceived the most ghastly fantasies and illusions, and the grotesque shrines and monoliths seemed to assume a hideous personality, a half-sentience. Amorphous shadows seemed to lurk in the darker recesses of the weed-choked hollow and to flit as in some blasphemous ceremonial procession past the portals of the moldering tombs in the hillside. I constantly consulted my watch by the light of my electric lantern and listened with feverish anxiety at the receiver of the telephone, but for more than a quarter of an hour, heard nothing. And then... Warren? Are you there?
God, if you could see what I am seeing. Carter, it's terrible. Monstrous. Unbelievable.
Warren, what is it? What is it? Warren!
I can't tell you, Carter. It's too utterly beyond thought. I dare not tell you. No man could know it and live. Great God, I never dreamed of this.
What is it? What are you seeing down there? Warren!
Carter, for the love of God, put back the slab and get out of this if you can. Quick, leave everything else and make for the outside. It's your only chance. Do as I say and don't ask me to explain.
I couldn't. No, I won't leave you.
Beat it, for God's sake. Put back the slab and beat it, Carter.
Warren, brace up. I'm coming down.
Don't! You can't understand. It's too late and on my own fault. But put back the slab and run. There's nothing else you or anyone can do now. Quick, before it's too late.
No, I...
Carter, hurry. It's no use. You must go. Better one than two. The slab!
Warren!
Nearly over now. Don't make it harder. Cover up those damned steps and run for your life. You're losing time. So long, Carter. Won't see you again. Ah! Curse these hellish things. Legions. My God. Beat it. Beat it. Beat it.
Warren. Warren, dear God. Answer me. Are you there? Warren! Are you there?
You fool. Warren is dead.
Oh, God. The voice. The voice from the tomb. Dead. Dead. Warren is dead. He's not. He's gone. I don't understand. I don't know. Warren.
Sheriff, help me restrain him. I'll have to sedate him.
Better do it quick, Doc. He's a thrasher.
There we are.
Warren.
Rest now, Mr. Carter.
The voice from the...
That feller's plumb gone off the deep end. Judge will never convict him. He's not fit enough for trial.
No, I dare say not.
Well, heck, Doc, what do we do with him?
I think my recommendation to the state's attorney will be for him to be remanded to the custody of a mental institution.
A nuthouse, eh? Well, I suppose if they keep him locked up tight. You thinking Chattahoochee?
No, I was actually thinking familiar surroundings might serve him better in recovering. I was going to recommend that we send him to an asylum up north, where he's from, in Arkham.
Hey,
Confined to an asylum. What a delightfully horrifying end to our tale, wouldn't you say?
It certainly was. So, what have you got in store for us next week?
A classic tale of terror when a pair of vacationing adventurers, kayaking down the Danube, stumble into the realm of monstrous beings from another dimension. You'll want to join us again next week when we bring you Algernon Blackwood's The Willows.
This has been Macabre Fantasy Radio Theater's production of H.P. Lovecraft's The Statement of Randolph Carter, brought to you by our sponsor, Johnny D. Pomade, for that polished high sheen look that works like a charm every time.
The Statement of Randolph Carter was produced and adapted for radio by David Milano. Music was by Kevin MacLeod. Playback by Sarah Huffman. Sound design by David Milano. Featured in our performance were Sean Crosby, Steve Daly, Jennifer Knighton, David Milano, and Graydon Schlichter. Recording by Heldrich Castillo. And thanks to all the management and crew of the Warner Grand Theater. Tune in next week for Algernon Blackwood's The Willows.
Join us online at macabrefantasy.com.